Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode number 73 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. We are taping this on a travel day between games 2 and 3 of the World Series, and I've got two of my favorite sons with me, from the Tampa Bay Rays, Tyler Glasnow, from the Pittsburgh Pirates, Stephen Brault. They are former teammates. They are reunited on the Chris Rose Rotation. Does it feel good, Tyler, to see your buddy?
Sure does. It's been a while. I've just seen him from afar on the stat sheet, if you will. I haven't talked to him in a while, so it's cool. It'll be a fun time.
We have our like little fits of strange discussion. I don't think Tyler and I have rational discussion very much. I think our text message chain is mostly full of bullshit, and we prefer to keep it that way.
Yeah, it's more fun that way.
Who's on that text chain?
No, it's me and him.
It's not a former Pirates get together. It's just the two of you.
No, I don't think we have it.
Okay, so I have news about that. So Tyler, you're gonna love this. Chris, you're gonna love this. So we have a group chat that we used to call the Sexual Six. Remember that, Tyler?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Very so sexual. It was me, J-Mo, Chad, Cool, Trevor Williams, Joe Musgrove, and Tyler. Those are the six. Okay, well, Tyler got traded first, so he was the first person to leave. So it became the Sexual Five, right? But now everybody's gone. Joe's gone. Trevor's gone. Obviously, J-Mo's gone. Tyler's gone. So I understand. I asked the group, hey, should we add Tyler back in? And I got a resounding no from everybody else. So if I don't know what you did to that group, but they really don't want you around, bud.
They didn't want my sexuality in the group chat, dude. I get it.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Are you offended, tall guy?
No, not really. I don't think group chats are really my thing anyway. I don't know how much I contributed on it in the beginning.
I don't think he really was a part of it all. I think that was the main thing. Was like, well, what's the point? Like, he never said anything when he was on it. So I think that was the main.
It stressed me out. Too many zings and dings and all that. I'm on my phone too much anyway. I need to stay off of it. But you get me one-on-one, I'll text you face off.
Who came up with the Sexual Six? Is that you, Brault, or is that somebody
probably
else?
Probably Brault.
No, I think that was Trevor. That seems like a Trevor thing.
Yeah, maybe right.
I mean, it's definitely not Joe. It's not Tyler. My guess between J-Mo and Trevor. Those are my two guesses.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Trevor sounds
good. Now it's the Sexual Five. .. former pirate greats. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
You're not giving us some breaking news, are you?
No. This is just because people have been leaving sadly for years. So hopefully,
I thought you were gonna say your group chat was just you now, and you just text yourself like, "Hey, yeah, you're still sexy, saying, Steven."
Hey man, just wanted to say you're looking great today.
Keep going.
Don't worry about what that guy said in the street.
Steven, I have a feeling that when you and Tyler text, that you are always the one that starts it off. Does he ever just reach out and is like, hey, buddy?
I mean, yeah, he has. Yeah. Like he said, like we're both kind of the same way where we don't, I mean, me and Tyler don't text all that much back and forth. Yeah. We just keep up with each other's lives. But then when we're in the same place, then it's, you know, back to best friend land. So we don't take offense to it. It's just, this is how we are.
That's just low maintenance friendship. I actually don't. It's funny too, because even when I go into season, like my best friends back home that I've known since like the guy I got in trouble at throwing the water balloons out the subway with, like we don't talk really at all during season, maybe like once or twice. Then we go home and like, don't miss a beat. It's just like that type of, I don't know. I'm not a big like text or maybe a couple calls here and there, but yeah, more of an in-person type thing.
Okay. I want to start off with really the most important news that we found out over the last 24 to 48 hours. And that is that Cole Tucker is the drummer opening for the Jonas Brothers band. Tyler, you broke that news with us when I was at the Game One watch party. Did you end up going to see him?
No. So he only drum for like a song. I know they hit him up and they're like, hey, we want blah, blah, blah. Like, I know he's been friends with like the Jonas Brothers and stuff. And then went over there and he just like had sound check at like 4:30. They left. It was just like a one-time thing. They didn't like really tell him what to do or whatever. He said, you kind of just go on and like feel it or whatever. And then he went up and did it and said it was awesome. I asked him about like the adrenaline too. He was like, it was similar to baseball, but different. And it's like owner guard or whatever. But it was, I don't know. The way he described it was actually interesting. He said like in baseball, when you do well, it's like the other guy doesn't do well. And you kind of are like the victor of the situation there. It's like, that guy singing's going 3 for 3 and the guy on the guitar is going 2 for 3. And you're here like pitching a shutout. Like, it's just like this cohesive, like mutual awesomeness. But you could tell in his voice, I called him, he was like very stoked about it. And he's so talented in much other stuff that it was like, of course. I know he's been like a huge music fan his whole life. So.
Brault, your thoughts?
I think it's awesome. I mean, like, so Cole and I have talked about many times making a band. When Trevor was around, he was involved in this as well. But obviously, you know, these things work. It's really hard to get a drum set anywhere during the season. So it has to be more of an off-season thing until, you know, you kind of get settled and you know where you're going to be and you can buy a drum set and have it at your house. But I think that this off-season, I'm 100% going to jam with Cole, but I don't think that really counts as a band. But I mean, jamming is still fun and still cool. I've been working on my stuff to try to make sure I'll be able to hang at least well enough. But dude, I mean, it's super cool. You get to play for a real concert. I wish I could see the crowd. That was the only thing I thought about those pictures. I wish there was a picture like from behind him, mm-hmm. you know, kind of out looking over the crowd.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I wish that they had, but, dude, it's so cool. He's such a good dude. And he, like I said yesterday, when we talked during the game, like, he's just one of those guys. He can make friends with anybody. Everybody likes Cole, and like they should. He's a great guy. So yeah. I'm happy for him. Super sick. Good for him. That's what I got.
Is there, as happy as you are, is there a little bit of jealousy that like you got to open for the Jonas Brothers? A little bit?
I mean, I guess. I didn't really think about it that way. I'm going to be honest. Like, I guess the worst thing I could say is that I actually don't know who Jacob McGraw is.
I didn't either. I know. I heard some stuff. He's pretty good.
It's not like Gavin DeGraw's brother, is it?
No, right. That's what I was thinking.
It's Dr. Phil's son. Dude. The band's good. Right. I remember hearing stuff. They're good. But yeah, it's Dr. Phil's son. I wonder how he feels about that. I wonder, like, us referring to him as Dr. Phil's son. I wonder if he's like, fuck. Like, dude, I'm a musician.
It has to be that all the time. I mean, you're Dr. Phil's son. Dude, fucking, like, Ken Griffey Jr. was still Ken Griffey's son until like 20 years later, where he finally became Ken Griffey Jr.
By the way, if my dad had that much cake, you could fucking call me Nordy Rose's son until the day I die. If I die at 91 years old, I could still be. I don't care.
You don't know. I don't know.
What's your dad's name?
My dad's name was Norton Rose. Norton. Listen, my dad was born in 1928. They had all sorts of fucked up names back then. But
he's so old. Oh my god!
So
it disgusts me.
They never got his name right on a piece of mail. It was always like Morton or like Neil, but it was never Norton because nobody was ever like, well, nobody named their kid Norton.
Yeah, so, I feel like back then there were always a bunch of weird names. Like, what's the baseball player? Like Rusty Cunts? Norton and Rusty hanging out. Like, there's just all these weird, like,
by the way,
like semi-sexual names.
His name, and we're all talking about the first base coach for the Royals. His name is Rusty Cunts.
I mean, that it's not how it's spelled.
Exactly. It is Rusty Cunts, technically, if you're good at English.
Yeah, well, except that I have a Rusty Cunts bobblehead, folks.
That's cool. That's awesome.
And it is the best bobblehead ever because it's actual fur on the head.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Why was it right next to you? Like, you had that queued up. Like, is that your favorite one? I would have that to be my favorite one, too, to be honest. I would have Rusty Cunts in my arm reach, too, if I could. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff.
Where are you in shop class right now? Where are you doing this from?
I'm doing this from this is my living room. This is my kitchen. See?
Oh,
very nice.
Okay. Wait.
Yes.
So you're in your apartment. Are you, I forget, you've told me, is it a townhouse? Is it an apartment in San Diego?
No, It's a condo building that we rent, you know, secondhand. We've been living here in the off season for the last 3 years. Glass, I was supposed to say, Abby says hi. I just drove her to the airport, so she wanted me to tell you hi.
Hi, Abby. She'll watch this and then she'll say hello back to her.
Oh, she will. Yeah, Abby's one of my best friends. We've been best friends for a long time. She came to visit me a few times, and her and Glass and me and one of our other friends, and we just all had a great time. Some good Polaroids from those visits.
Oh, yeah. Legendary Polaroids. Does she still work for the Padres?
No, she quit. She's working for a different company now. She was way up there too. She actually got a promotion and she hated it so much that she left.
Dang. And she,
I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if that's going to get her in trouble, but I mean, she left. So it doesn't really matter.
Do all of your female friends, because you got, listen, let's just cut to the chase. You're a pair of good looking guys, you're pro athletes, you're funny. You guys both have great personalities. Like, Brault, do all of your friends that are girls, like, if they've met Tyler, are they like, oh, my God. And Glass, same way with you with Brault. Like, I'm sure that happens, right?
I've had some instances where that's happened, for sure. Like, I think more of it, like, I used to tease Steve about, like, this. Clearly him and Abby are, like, just friends. They've been friends forever. But I was always like, you guys are going to marry each other. Like, I already know. He's like, you're an idiot. Like, no, we're not. Like, that's all that I remember. But yeah, there's been times for sure. Or like just in passing, like someone will be like, so like, what's Steven up to? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you should hit him up on Instagram or something.
Yeah. Every girl that I've ever talked to about Glass now, I always describe him as a Greek god, and then people don't get it. God. And then you go to his Instagram and everybody goes, oh my God.
Flattered.
So I want to thank you guys each for coming on our John Boy Media live stream. I'm going to tell you, I went up to the offices. They are in the Bronx. It's literally like two blocks from Yankee Stadium. And it is it's quite the interesting setup we have up there at John Boy. So Tyler, when I reached out to you, you said you were out to dinner with your parents. Were you really out to dinner with your parents, or were you doing something?
When
I talked to you the other night.
No, I was at home with my parents watching the game.
Oh, you were at home.
And then I went outside, like, yeah, watching it outside at got my it. House with my parents. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic miscommunication.
I got it. So yeah. So when you watch a baseball, like a big league baseball game with your parents, what is it like? Is there a lot of talking to the TV? Are you going through scenarios? Are you kind of passively watching the game? How do you watch it as a major leaguer when you're not playing?
I think I'm a big, like, I watch it from, like, both perspectives in, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, hitter, pitcher. Like, I think generally I side with the pitcher no matter who it is. Like, I just kind of feel for him. When someone gives up, like, five runs, I'm like, oh, I know what that feels like. Like, I know what that day feels like. My mom is also pretty neutral. Like, she just kind of watches it for, like, what it is and, like, roots. She's more of, like, she roots for the people she kind of knows and, like, people, like, she likes personality-wise. Like, oh, I hope they do well. And and then my dad just, like... It's still like he understands baseball, but he's still like some of the stuff he says. I'm like, I've been playing this for like 20 something years, and like certain things he still doesn't really get. But like, he also will, he's like a very much a fan. Like, if someone swings at a bad pitch, he's like, what the fuck are you swinging at? I'm like, Dad, it's hard. Like, this is hard. But he's very much like, he's one of those people that like picks a team, loves a team, and then like kind of doesn't like, he doesn't like the Astros. Even I'm the one who was even like pitching against them who didn't do one. I'm kind of like benefit of the doubt, like, no, like, this is probably a good dude. Like, they're still really a good team. But he's like, no, fuck that. They suck. I hate them. Or he's just like, I don't like Boston. I don't like – he's very, like, sticks to his team. Like, he'll pick a team and stick with them. So, yeah, there's, like, a two separate – my mom and dad always go back and forth, too. And I was like, stop it, Greg. And Greg's like, no, I don't – like, it's this whole back and forth. It's cool, though. It's a good time to watch a game with them.
Steven, I know your parents are big-time baseball fans. So, do you watch the World Series with them? Do you go pop over?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched plenty of games with them. I haven't watched a World Series game with them yet, but I've watched plenty of baseball games with them in general, and it is an experience. My mom is a fan of baseball in general. Obviously, if the Pirates are playing, it's the same thing. She likes people that she knows. You know, she wants to do well, all that stuff. She feels bad for people that do poorly. Any pitcher, doesn't matter what happens, any pitcher gives up five runs, and my mom's like, oh, poor guy. Yeah. His mom. She always says, his mom is probably so sad. She says that all the time. But then my dad is a big baseball guy and still umpires, still plays, you know, like he does all this. He's still into baseball. So he always wants, you know, we always have like serious discussions about what's going on. And my dad is very stubborn, which I've gotten from him. I'm pretty stubborn as well. But my dad, when he's like, that was the wrong thing to do, I'll be like, well, you know, in the situation, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he'll be like, no. This is why you're wrong. We'll like pause the game, rewind it, go watch through it again. And I'm like, Dad, I don't care. I'm sorry. I brought it up. But yeah, no, we have fun because my dad is very like, he watches, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys that really watches the game. And he'll be like, why did you throw that slider after you just threw that fastball? It didn't make any sense. But like, he really watches. So it's fun. Cool.
Do you have a rooting interest, Tyler Glass, now?
Huh? In what?
Do you have a?
Oh,
I didn't think it was that complex a question.
Finish your sentence.
Do you have a rooting interest in the World Series?
Not really at all. I don't care. I think like once my team's out, I'm kind of just like, oh, all right, I'm going to go not watch baseball anymore. I'll still like pay attention and watch. And like, especially at, like if you've been in the league for a while, like even in the minor leagues, like you develop relationships with people that are playing. Mm-hmm. And you root for those who like, you know, and you root for them as like a person. So you want them to succeed on the field, but I don't like, I'm not really captivated by it. Well, like, there's a lot of like,
so do you know any of these guys really well on either Atlanta or Houston? Like to the point where you'd be
Charlie
like
Morton. I love to death.
Oh yeah.
Like Charlie Morton is the best. Darnaud, super awesome human. So, all right. I need to rephrase that. I'm rooting for the Braves, but I also don't like, there's no like hate in my heart towards the Astros. I just would rather see the Braves win because of Charlie and Darnaud and like people like that. And I think Jock's pearls are cool.
How, you know what you got? You both could probably pull off pearls. I really think
so. Yeah, he already did it. It's already his thing. I can't do it. I got to find my own thing. Maybe I'll bring back the puka shells.
Ooh, you know, when those hurt, they like pinch your neck.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
I was little. Yeah. I never got into it. Maybe it's good.
Oh, I wore puka shells for sure.
Yeah. I could see you wearing puka shells.
Oh yeah,
San Diego boy.
Had a little puka shells with like a shark tooth on the
That was Steven. I definitely could see that for sure.
Oh yeah, little spiky hair with the ice spiker. So it was like a rock.
Yeah,
wasn't going anywhere.
The ice spiker. Ooh, that brings back memories, nostalgia. Yeah. Steven Brault. Yeah, you're right. Welcome. And then it would dry and get all gross and like white. It was looked all
weird. Yeah. And you like go like to football practice. You have to put your helmet on and it's just like.
And you'd sweat on your face and you're all gross and you'd taste your hair gel. Yep. Fun times.
It's gross. How crushed were you, Tyler, for when that shit happened to Charlie Morton?
It certainly sucks, especially watching it on TV. I was like, oh, hopefully it's not. The fact that like he just like was like, hey, I can't, like they came out and they didn't have him like throw any warm-up pitches or anything like that. I was like, hey, clearly there's something like wrong then. And then he went in and like I texted him and we talked a little bit. And yeah, and then like what you guys know, I knew then. And so it sucks. And I think like the silver lining of it is like at least it didn't happen 15 games in. And like, you know what I mean? He just pitched 33 starts and then like did really well in the playoffs and then like started the first game of the World Series. Like obviously you want him during the World Series, but he's going to be back next year. And like he's basically played a full season. He contributed to the team so much to where they even got to this situation to where like it could be much worse. And he just signed a $20 million deal. Like, and I know like money doesn't fix all things, but I'm like, at least you're rich.
Hey, I'll tell you what money does fix. Money fixes a broken fibula.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely fixes a broken fibula.
It does. It's like 6 to 8 weeks. He's going to have like time in the offseason, get strong, come back and be like fine for next year. So like nobody wants to see someone get hurt. And it's not really a load bearing. It's like 20% load bearing. So it's not, you know, it's not like there's just chance of him never coming back again. So.
But can't you guys, like, Steven, the guy threw 16 more pitches, including going to sit down for an inning and then come back and then strike out Altuve. Like, as a fellow pitcher, can't you sit there and be like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because if you actually now knowing what we know, if you go back and watch the footage of the game, he's not comfortable. You know, you can see, like, after it happens, his landing foot, usually with Charlie Morton is so like firm. His landing front leg is like, bam. He does like almost like a stomp, right? So he like really gets into it. And after that, he started doing it and he started falling off a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can just tell, but the dude is so strong and he's so just like, fuck it. I'm going to pitch. This is the World Series. I'm pitching in this game unless I literally
can.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm sure a doctor would say with broken bones like that, it's like, dude, you broke it already. So it's not going to get any worse. You know, it's just, can you pitch through the pain kind of thing? And the fact that he was able to pitch that long with a broken fibula is just bananas. I mean, it's crazy. Dude, I mean, that's just cool. You just like to see it. Veteran leadership right there.
Tyler, you remember the first time you talked to him? Like, were you, did he have that veteran aura like from day one when you met him in Tampa?
So that's the funniest thing with Charlie is like, I guess what you'd consider a veteran aura, like when I don't know, I guess I'm interpreting it differently, but like when I think of like a veteran aura, I almost think of like a Burnett, someone who's just like this, like you'd almost misinterpret it as like mean, but it's not, it's just like this ultra confidence and like, just kind of like exude this type of personality. Charlie is so unique in his own way that like, he's so good, but he talks to rookies or you like, and it's super genuine. He's just like, if you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, oh, this guy's also in rookie ball with me. Like, he's the most humble, non, like, I'm a veteran type guy. He's very much like, even his conversations, he's still like, it's such a, not to be all like cliche and stuff, but like very much like a student of the game. He doesn't have this like strong ego. He's very much just like super humble, like extremely humble and just open to whatever. So it's hard to like, it's just such a different vibe. He's not like any other veteran I've ever met. Like, he has this confidence that he's a good pitcher, but he's still very much just like, I don't know, I'm just like a normal guy who happens to play baseball. So I mean, when he was like, our dugout talks were phenomenal. When he didn't sign back or whatever, when he couldn't come back to the Rays, it was a blow. Like, our whole entire clubhouse still to this day talked about him like he was on our team. Like, we would talk about him in the dugout every day. And we're like, isn't it crazy how all of us still like speak on this dude like he's here, and he just like left this lasting impression. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I love to hear that. All right. Imagine you are stepping to the plate for your biggest at bat of the season. And all of a sudden that bat ain't fully functional. It happens to a lot of guys in the bedroom, particularly guys my age. Did you know that 52% of all men ages 40 to 70 suffer from some form of erectile dysfunction? It's okay, guys. I know we don't like talking about it, but that's where our friends at GetRoman.com will come in handy. If you go to GetRoman.com and use the code word JOMBOY now, you'll get a chance to speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about all forms of ED. This is a great thing. They take care of it over the phone. You don't have to walk into a doctor's office. You don't have to walk into a pharmacy. If you need medication, no problem. They will send it discreetly to your house, and it's free. 2 days of shipping, it'll be there. You'll be ready to go, and you'll take care of your business. Believe me, that someone special is going to say thank you for taking that first step. So once again, it is GetRoman.com, keyword JOMBOY. You're going to get $15 off your first month of treatment. They're going to take care of you. They'll make sure it's discreet. It's over the phone. And guess what? You will be back in the batter's box before you know it. Let's get a little bit into the series. Steven, we're still waiting for a moment. Like, I'm a huge baseball fan. The first two games have been kind of dog shit. Neither of them have been close. It's okay, because you don't always remember the first two games of a World Series anyway. Now we're getting back to Atlanta. I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere. First World Series game in 22 years in Atlanta and all that sort of stuff. I think whenever Freddie Freeman does something well, it adds something extra to that franchise. You know, he had the huge home run against Hader, had a couple of, you know, really good games against the Dodgers after a terrible LCS start and all that sort of stuff. When you're pitching to a guy like Freddie Freeman, are you aware of how much of an impact he can have in a game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's the guys that are, it's like the COVID super spreader thing, right? Where it's like, there's one person that can really, really fuck everybody up. Okay. Well, that's Freddie Freeman. You know, I think that he's one of those guys that, you know, most of the time he's going to, you know, if he's getting a hit with nobody on, you're like, sick, I'm fine. You know, most guys, you don't really care about that. But when Freddie Freeman gets a hit with nobody on, it's like everybody in the lineup goes, all right, well, Freddie got a hit. So now if we don't score him, then we're all going to feel like jerks because he's like the man. He's been here forever. He's our guy. You know, if he's leading off an inning and gets a hit, he better come around to score. And it kind of feels that way with Freddie Freeman. He just has obviously such a hold on that clubhouse, that city in general. I mean, you know, Bryce Wilson came over from the Braves this year to us, and the way that he would describe it, you know, Atlanta has such a big following because there's no other teams for multiple states around. So mm-hmm. everybody around there likes the Braves. And so anytime you get the Braves going, Braves country going, like it is this huge animal that you have to deal with. And I think nobody gets that Braves country going better than Freddie Freeman. So I think that's the main effect he has.
Is there somebody else in that lineup where you're like, if that guy gets going, it could be Atlanta World Series? Because, I mean, it's normally Acuna. And I know you faced him a handful of times, but now it's different.
No, I have no doubt Austin Riley. And there's no doubt in my mind if Austin Riley, you know, can start hitting some home runs here in the World Series, especially, dude, he's got so much help around him. And it seems like there's always people on base when he comes up to the plate. And he had such a good season, you know, that he can definitely step into that role of being the big playoff guy. Freddie Freeman's obviously going to make some big impacts, but you need a second guy, which we would normally attribute Acuna, but they've been doing a good job of doing it by committee. And that's why they've gotten here. And I think if you really want to get that like big moment and have that one guy kind of take off, I think it would be Austin Riley.
All right. You faced the Astros plenty, Tyler, including in the postseason. What is the biggest challenge when you're facing Jose Altuve?
Not giving up homers. I give up so many home runs. I think like it's like throwing not non-competitive pitches, but like he covers the plate so well that like you don't need to throw him like first pitch strikes in a sense. Like I think so much for me, like I'm a power pitcher, so when I get up there, I'm like, throw the fastball. You're not gonna hit it. And he's such a good fastball hitter and he covers the plate so well. And scouting report was like obviously he doesn't cover off speed as well. But yeah, I don't know. I would say like not trying to be so perfect. Like for me, a lot of it's like get ahead, stay ahead, put people away and like aim to a bigger part of the zone. And with him, it's almost like I can expand a bit more. Like I don't need to, and he's another guy too. Like he's so small, but he covers the top of the plate well. And that's like my strength. So with a guy like him, it's almost like honestly like out stuff plus 4 inches around the zone because he swings so much. And when he's on, he can hit pitches that are outside of the zone. But I think I like would need to use his aggressiveness against him per se. Like I've done well against him before, but he's also just done so well against me because he just, I don't know. I think it's like the short compact strength or something. He just gets the stuff so quick.
He also stands so damn far away from the plate. I can't believe how far away he is. And he still is able to cover everything.
Diver. He's a diver. It's like,
true.
Trey Turner does it too. Small guys that stand far off the plate and their front foot is actually going towards the plate and the pitcher, you know, when they step forward. So they're diving in. So the idea is you can go in on them, but the problem is that they're short. So they also have quick swings. Yeah. So they usually can get to those still. That's what Altuve hit that double down the line last game. But the thing with Altuve, like what Tyler was saying, like you can go way off the plate and he'll still swing. It's like the opposite of Mike Trout, where Mike Trout will swing and miss at pitches in the zone sometimes because he always takes his good swing. Altuve, every swing is different. And so like he's taking swings on balls that are 4 balls off the plate, but he still gets to it because he's basically throwing his bat at it. Or you go in off the plate and he pulls it down the line for a double. He's just a hard guy to attack.
Yeah.
Tyler, this might be a weird question, but you're 6'7", 6'8". How tall are you?
7'7".
Is it weird throwing to a guy who's 5'6"?
I don't really notice. Like you can tell, or I guess the contrast is everything. Like when I throw to Judge, I'm like, this dude's fucking huge. It's not in like a, it's not even in like, oh my God, he's going to do well. It's just like this, wow, you're a big person. And generally it doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't like approach it any differently, but it is a little weird. I'd say I notice like humongous people more than small people. Like I'm so like focused in on the catcher. And for me, I'm a guy who pitches to my strengths. Like you obviously know the scouting reports and like the glaring holes of people, but for the most part, honestly, for any pitcher, like if you're on and you're following your game plan, like, and you're executing it properly, like no matter what lineup you're facing, you're probably going to have like a pretty good result.
So you could pitch to a midget.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much the zone would shrink, but like, yeah, for sure. I think like, it's honestly, it's funny too, because like, I know that zone changes with guys, but it doesn't really seem that way. Like Judge's zone is clearly different than Altuve, but it doesn't, when you're pitching, it's just like, nope, strike's a strike. Like,
tall guys always get high balls called on them for strikes, and tall guys always get low balls called on them for strikes. It's just too hard to make that big of an adjustment.
Yeah, like, it is.
You know, between hitters. But, okay, I was thinking about this the other day. So you know how, so Ozzie Albies, very small guy, right? Mm-hmm. And when he's hitting right-handed, especially, he's fully open. Like, what was that? Who was the guy who did that back in the day?
Brian Downing was way, way open. He was, okay. So, oh, no. I know who you're talking about. Batista.
Batista, yeah, the Orioles guy. So well, I was thinking about if Aaron Judge, if his batting stance was like that, would he even be able to do that? I think his foot would be like fully outside of the batter's box if he stood open like that. Because you have guys that the way that I always notice size is guys that I say they fill up the box. So like guys like Harper, Goldschmidt are the guys that I face often that it seems like when they stand in the batter's box, they fill up the entire thing. And then when I go and stand in the batter's box, it's absolutely massive. And there's so much space for me to move around. It feels like those guys have to stand in one spot or they just will not fit.
Yeah, it's like girth over length, maybe. It's like their circumference. It's like, yeah.
Everybody likes a little girth.
Yeah, dude.
Tyler, Alex Bregman is a guy that has not gotten going here in the playoffs, it feels like. And he's a guy that really is like an engine driver for them, in my opinion. When he's going well, what is he doing?
Honestly, like, as far as the mental thing goes, I think he's just like uber confident. Like, well, I feel like when he plays really well, he kind of like plays that villain. Like, he's not a dick, but he's a dick, you know? Like, he's just kind of like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to go out here and just show that I'm great. And like, I don't know. I guess that's like, you can't really prove that, but that's just like when I watch, that's what I feel. But that's another guy that's like really good. Covers the plate well. I think his like swing and miss rate I don't know the numbers, but probably had to have gone up this year just from like what I've seen and like sometimes we faced him, but that's another guy. Like when he's on, I feel like he takes pitches well. When he's not on, like he's just curveball to death him, you know, like he hits heaters well, but he can get to any heater, I feel like, but he swings at a lot of stuff when he's not going right.
Aren't like all of his homers to left field? Like he only pulls home runs.
Yeah. Him and like Altuve are kind of the same.
Altuve really went heavy that way. Doesn't he
hit a lot of doubles the opposite field? I feel like he kind of peppers that corner a little bit.
Man, seems like he might, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never faced Bregman, so I can't tell you.
But it's interesting. Something you brought up is a discussion we had up at John Boy over the last few days. And I think it was BBD, who's the producer of Talking Baseball with John Boy and Jake. And he said, Alex Bregman loved being the villain until he actually became the villain.
No, that's deep.
It is. Deep.
He was like, yeah, he was the bad guy but he was on America's sweetheart team.
Right.
You know, the Astros, we quickly forget the Astros back in 2017 were that whole season. They were always constantly in the media, constantly. Yeah. And then this year, even when the playoffs came around, it seemed like coverage of the Astros was still low. I mean, compared to, you know, other teams were definitely what it used to be. But, you know, it kind of makes sense, you know, right now. But at the same time, they're not cheating and they're still winning. So, you know,
that's still a good team, obviously.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go.
No.
Do people come up to you, Steve, too, and just like making conversation like those fucking Astros? Just random people will do that. And I'm like, yeah, like I totally get, but I don't have this weird like hatred towards them. And I think the biggest thing, like what proves like they've been in the playoffs 5 years in a row. Like they're clearly an amazing team. Like it doesn't excuse the fact that they cheated in 17 at all. But the fact that like there were a lot of other teams cheating, they just kind of got like hosed for it. It's just funny to me. But even now, like they're playing extremely well. Like their offensive numbers are always like top in the league. It's just funny at like, they definitely had an advantage in 17, but it's just, you don't go to the playoffs 5 years in a row if you're that good. So I find myself like not defending them, but when people come up to me and make conversation, I'm like, maybe consider it like a different way. But I do understand why there's anger and like frustration there. Like it's just, nobody likes a cheater.
Do people come up to you, Steven?
People always want to talk about the Astros. Like,
yeah, always.
No, don't you think they should have gotten worse penalties and all that stuff? And it's like, yeah, maybe. But at the same time, like, I guess it doesn't really matter. The people who needed to get in trouble got fired for a year. And, I mean, we're not talking about betting on baseball, which for whatever reason was decided many, many years ago that that is number one. You don't do it. It's in every clubhouse. In baseball, that's rule 21. I don't know what the other rule number is, but the other one that's in every clubhouse is basically don't hit the umpires.
Yeah. It's like the only two.
That's don't the only two they really care about, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, obviously I hated it. You know, I'm a big, like, I've always, you know, liked the Knight in Shining Armor movies, right? Where it's like honor, two guys in a completely level playing field fighting against each other. Who's better? And that's what I want baseball to be. And I'm upset that it wasn't, but they paid their dues and now they're back in the World Series and they're a really good team. So, I mean, that's all I got.
It's interesting.
You're a big benefit of the doubt guy too. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you again. I feel like I always remember Steve, someone would do something or complain about something and Steve would just be like, is it really that bad? Like, can you calm down? I always remember just being like, it's fine. Okay. Like people, we don't need to complain because we're in the big leagues. Like,
right.
Just
relax. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of complaining because we're more important or we're better. So I try to make sure people realize, you know, it's really okay. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. That's so bad.
Today I tried to deliver flowers to my girlfriend. They didn't get delivered. They're not going to get delivered till tomorrow. But you know what? It's okay. It's going to be fine.
All right, hold on. How's that happen?
That apparently it was actually supposed to get delivered last night, and apparently they tried to deliver it, and then it just didn't get delivered. So what I got was out for delivery at 8 p.m., and then I woke up this morning, and it was never delivered. So then I had to call and ask what happened. Apparently they just decided, we're not going to drop it off. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But yeah, so now I had to call, you know, and get things figured out. And now she's going to get the flowers tomorrow. Or
Stop. That's bullshit. They were supposed to be delivered last night.
Yes.
Okay. All right, fine. If they didn't get delivered last night, why are they skipping today?
Yeah, because apparently, listen to this, the person could not get in touch with the florist who's supposed to deliver them. So apparently this is my fault. So,
okay. Did you ask for some money back?
Yeah, I did. And you know what they gave me? They gave me money towards my next purchase.
No,
yeah,
that's exactly. Bullshit. No. That's some bullshit. First of all, I know a florist in San Diego. I could have helped you out. If you had texted me, I could have gotten you
to Arizona. To Arizona.
Why to Arizona?
Sending flowers. That's where my girlfriend is.
She's in Arizona.
She lives in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that where you live right now, Tyler?
Yeah, I didn't even know you had a girlfriend either, Steve.
Yeah, you know her.
I do?
Yeah, it's Lydia.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Wait, do I?
Oh, you ever
meet? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, if you want me to go beat anyone up for not delivering the flowers, we can see what I can do.
Yeah, for sure. I'll let you know. It was just, you know, it was just one of those things where I was on the phone for so long and I was just like, just fuck, send the flowers tomorrow. Like, whatever, I'm out.
And I don't see you as the guy being too like, how are you going to make this situation right? Give me free shit. Like,
I'm not that guy. Yeah.
Are these just because flowers or is it?
Yeah, just because flowers. Yeah.
Steven, you dog. What
those are the best ones. Does she have a specific arrangement that she loves?
She loves sunflowers, which I'm not huge on, but hey, if she likes them, nice and easy. Yes, sunflowers and roses. Yeah. Like fall colors, you know.
Did you do a nice mix?
Yeah, I did. Sunflowers and roses. So I did.
Red roses, or did you mix the colors?
No, they're cool. Like, what did they call them? They're kind of like fally colors, kind of like orange, pink kind of roses.
Very Halloween-ish. Like, exactly. Very nice. Yeah. Well, I guess sunflowers would, I don't know. I'm not a big like flower that. Guy. I'm not sure.
This weekend is Halloween. Are either of you going to a Halloween party?
Or, yeah.
Yes?
I'm going to, no. I'm going to Mexico.
This weekend?
Yeah, I leave tomorrow, and then I come back the second.
Dude, I don't know anybody that goes to Mexico more than Tyler. Dude, fucking
it's my happy
it.
Place.
Yeah.
I love it. It's lawless. It's just, and there's like surfing. I'm going to like Cancun, Tulum area, so there's not going to be like much surfing, but I just like going down there. It's just like the best. You just go with your friends and it's just like cheap and tacos are a dollar and like no one cares about anything. And you just hang out on the beach and do whatever time. You want. It's yeah. so much fun.
Do you stay at an all-inclusive resort or are you, no, you get off the beach.
In Rosarito, it's like, it's pretty like grungy. So like, we'll still stay in like a place called Las Gaviotas. It's like a gated community because I don't want to get like murdered at night, you know? So like, that's the only thing. It's basically though, what's cool about like that, like Baja, or like Rosarito, right past San Diego. It's basically San Diego real estate. It's like all that awesome beach stuff, but it's just not as expensive. And people are afraid of Mexico, so not many people go. And then we'll go and stay in this like gated kind of community. And there's just awesome surf spot there. And it's just like this weird little unknown paradise. So it's just like fun to go with your friends and stuff. And like all of Mexico, I just like.
Brault, you going anywhere good?
I'm going to Arizona.
I was going to say.
I'm planning a trip to actually to New York this off season to go see Broadway shows, you know, Ooh. On Broadway. And I believe there's going to be a little bit of, you know, collab between MLB and Broadway, kind of like what we did with the, you know, the videos that I did during quarantine and maybe get, you know, see some cool stuff and, you know, go backstage. That would be sweet. That would be very nice. But, I just really want to go. I haven't seen a show on Broadway, so I need to go do that.
Ever?
No, dude. I've spent no time in New York, ever. Like, I've been there for, like, 3 days, and we've played a game all 3 days, you know? It's kind of far away from where I live, Chris.
Well, but they also have planes that take you there, Stephen.
In, like, 6 hours.
True. I lived there for like parts of 3 years in the offseason. I only went to one off Broadway show. It's not really a
big look. That's way Broadway's worse. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's much worse. Yeah. Shame me. But I guess Broadway is like not like my. It's cool.
I've done a bunch of Broadway. Like an
opera. Yeah. Like, that's
I'm
cool.
I'm in.
I'd go see like Wicked or something. Kind of cool.
Now, Wicked. Millar now, not that Millar is the most couth person ever in the history of the world. But his family was up visiting. He's like, yeah, we're going to go to Wicked. And they walked out. So,
no. Oh really? My God, save it. That's unbelievable.
Get this out like over network.
Yeah. Get Chris Rose back, the intentional talk show. Let's go. Unbelievable.
Oh, that is great. Before we wrap things up, once again, we're recording this on the off day of the World Series. The biggest news, maybe, to come out of Major League Baseball is the fact that PETA. Is talking about trying to get baseball to rename the bullpen because they put out a tweet that said bullpen refers to the area of a bullpen where bulls are held before they are slaughtered. It's a word with species. I can't read that word. My
speciesist.
Speciesist roots.
Speciesist.
Speciesist.
Yeah, like speciesist.
Yeah, like that's what it looks like. Roots, speciesist. And we can do better than that. Switching to arm barn would be a home run for baseball fans, players, and animals. I don't want to necessarily get into the politics of changing the name. I have to tell you, I'm kind of impressed with PETA's arm barn call. Could you guys imagine, Glasnow, if you were warming up in the arm barn?
Like, I don't care what the name is. I like just warm up and throw. I don't know how important the name is anyway. I think part of me, like a stubbornness, is like, why? Like, why? Why change it? Like, I guess there's reasons. Maybe I haven't seen both sides, but like, it just seems
you just
like,
saw.
There's
you
like
just
a said reason. That's... I get it, but like, it's just a reason to get mad at something. So you, I just like, you're not hurting anyone by calling it the bullpen. But if it makes everyone angry and you want to change it to the arm barn, that's fine. You can call it the whatever you want. And that's fine.
So make everyone angry.
Huh?
Made one person
that's what I mean. Angry. Sure, I guess, dude, it's not like they're considering it. Maybe they are. Who knows? But like, that's just, I guess, the initial, like, it's not that big a deal. It's a name. Yeah. Just people warm up there. Who cares? You call it the shit house. It doesn't matter.
Everyone don't care. Shithouse is number 20, Tyler Glass now.
Yeah. He's definitely going to get shelled sick. I really don't care about the name either. It really doesn't matter what the name of the bullpen is. It's just, I don't think anybody, when they hear somebody's warming up in the bullpen, thinks about bulls being slaughtered. I don't think anybody makes that connection.
Yeah, I don't get
it. I don't know. I never have.
Why did he get called the bullpen in the first place? I remember Jared Hughes told me about this a while ago. I don't remember. Like, it was just like, it's where like the bulls warm up and then they run. Where they run or something?
Well, it's apparently where they go before they get slaughtered.
That's slaughtered. Yeah, exactly. According to the tweet.
It's not a very good name. Maybe we should change it. Think of it. I'm going to start a petition for shithouse. That might catch on.
So you guys were both teammates of Jared Hughes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you guys all in on the sprinting shtick?
I was laughing really hard. I realized in this game, like, you got to do what you got to do. Like, some people are just weird. Some people aren't. Some people, like, you have to be able to, like, tap into an emotion that, like, maybe you wouldn't otherwise be able to tap into. And I think, like, if it works, it works. And it clearly works. He's a good pitcher. So, whatever. Sprint.
There's one sprint from the bullpen that I truly do care about. And it was 2017 or 18.
Oh, never mind.
We had a brawl with somebody. Of course, because we fought everybody back then. And the bullpens in Pittsburgh are both behind center field. So I am like one of the first people out of the bullpen, and I start to run. And I'm not slow, okay? I'm not super fast, but I'm not slow. And I'm going at a good pace. And all of a sudden, Tyler just zooms past me, goes so much faster than me because he's one of the fastest people I've ever seen in my life. Gets down there before me, nothing happens, whatever. So afterwards, we go and watch the video from like the behind home plate camera, and you just see Tyler kind of like fighting for position to get out of the bullpen, and then he just takes off and beats everybody in both bullpens to the fight. It's so funny. You just see everybody's kind of going together, and then there's just one guy just way past everybody.
I do remember that. So if I went and looked at the video too, and I thought it was so funny, I was just like all like, and bones just doing this, so many movements. It was so funny. But I went because Joe was pitching, and there was that, like, that, who were you playing? I don't remember. It was like some scuffle, and I just, my mom instinct kicked in. I was like, I fucking like Joe, and like this, I thought it was a lot worse. It was not as bad as I thought it was. Like, from afar, I thought it was like a big deal. People were about to start fighting, so I was like, I need to go in there and use my length. And I just sprinted over there and then got there, and everyone was like, no one, it's just a normal baseball fight, this is just stupid.
Yep.
So generally all of them are.
That's good stuff, man. All right. Pick a winner and then we'll get out of here. Steven, who's winning this thing?
I got Braves in seven.
I'm just going to say, I mean, part of me thinks it's going to be the Astros, but I want the Braves. So I'm going to go Braves. And I can't say the same. Braves in six. Why not?
Okay. Braves in six. Yeah. That's the Trevor Plouffe call right there. Back on March 31st, Plouffe tweeted out, Braves beat the Astros in six games this year.
What? Did he really?
Yes.
On March 31st?
Yep.
That's incredible.
What?
What are the odds of that mathematically? Two people out of 30? I don't know. I should be able to do this math. I don't know.
No, it'd be a bunch of different.
Yeah, you've got to factor in odds and everything else. You're not going to figure that one out on the fly, brother.
Maybe someone on Twitter or some sort of
social media figure it out.
So in the comments, somewhere.
Yeah, if he had put that in Vegas that day and it ended up being right, I can say that it would be worth a lot of money, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's very true.
Plouffe already lives in a big-ass house down the street from Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. He could have added on a room or two if he had put that bet in.
Not another house.
Yeah.
At least a wing.
He could have bought Matthew Stafford.
A guest wing.
A guest wing, yeah. Boys, it was great great hanging out with you. It was good to reunite you, you former Pirates teammates, together for the last 45 minutes. It is always wonderful catching up with you. Tyler, have a great time in Mexico. Steven, thanks. Have a great time at your Halloween party. I hope the flowers get there sometime before the 2024 season.
Me too.
Okay. Boys, it's good seeing you. I'll catch up with you somewhere down the road, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All of us. I'll be in Brawl.
for Tyler Glasnow, for our outstanding producer, editor extraordinaire, Robbie Scirocco. I am Chris Rose. We will see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.